Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. First things first.
So, you are the perfect person to speak to about this.
Oh!
Because I want to speak about non-traditional media, right?
Yeah.
I remember when Barack Obama was elected president. And I actually remember the campaign that he led from the very, very beginning, the Iowa caucus, et cetera, and so on. And I remember that he used a lot of new media, social media to be precise.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought this was unconventional. They didn't know if it would yield results or not, but eventually he did. Things like his speeches would be found on YouTube. Keep in mind, this is back in 2008. Right? So YouTube, well, 2007, because that's when the campaign started. So YouTube was literally like a year and a half old, you know? And it led to his popularity surging amongst the youth. Now, when you come to South Africa, generally politicians have always just gone to traditional media, radio, TV, etc. and so on. Now we're seeing more and more of them go to Dr. Susan Boff Walsh, for example's podcast. Some of them come to you guys.
Yeah.
And yesterday I saw Julius Malema. So the EFF basically has their own podcast. But they just have people that rotate in hosting it. And yesterday they had DJ Smoo interview Julius Malema. And they spoke about his upbringing, etc. and so on. Things that I had not seen Julius Malema speak about candidly. He spoke about his first experience when he was smoking weed. He called it Dacha. I know, he's only 44 or 43, but he speaks like a man who's like 67. It's not Dhaka. But anyway, all of these things then lead me to believe that you're trying to achieve something different. When you come, for example, to Mpundo Show at SABC, that's a news show. They're not going to ask you about your first experience smoking Dhaka. But as a result, it's not going to be as endearing as you telling us that you came home and your grandmother was now crying because she could see that you were drunk and you went to go hide behind a tree. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
And this is where I need to ask, is there more value in your politicians being more personable?
There is, because politicians, you're trying to endear yourself to people, and people, you know, have a background. Makhuli see you, we're all human, and gone are the days where you expect people to be perfect as politicians. Yes, you expect them to carry themselves a certain way, but also behind the animosity amongst politicians, the competition and everything else, the scandals, if they are, they're still human at the end of the day. And going to platforms like this humanizes them a lot and it's more relaxed.
Now, the flip side to that is people get too comfortable. Then they say things that are unbecoming of a politician, like John Steenhuisen referring to his ex-wife as roadkill on your show.
Can I be honest? A lot of the young people sometimes probably like that, and they're able to separate that from the leader. Maybe you have reasons not to, but a lot of them are like, he is human. At least he's thinking it. And a lot of these politicians probably think like that because at the end of the day, they are also amajita who go for prize and speak about their exes in all sorts of ways.
But now you're missing the point, right? When you go on a campaign, you're not trying to lose voters. You're trying to add voters. So yes, you're trying to appeal to the younger demographic, but you're not trying to put off the older women, for example, that follow you and then hear you speak disrespectfully about your ex-wife and then go, what is this now? Roadkill of all terms.
I think it depends what the purpose of your campaign or the reason for you being there in the first place is. At the end of the day, we are a young nation and it helps to actually endear yourself to the young people. As much as, yes, you would be losing some of the older, followers, you do need to endear yourself to the young ones. And I like when politicians actually take to new media. Because as Saul says, it personalizes you. It makes you a lot more relatable to, because there are some that I look at and I'm like, why aren't you on Twitter? Why aren't you on Instagram? Why aren't we seeing you as a human being outside of just you being a politician?
But now, let me also point out the hypocrisy in your statements, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Musi Maimane was on Twitter literally trolling like the rest of us?
No. It comes back to your statement. There's a difference between you trying to be personable and you just being behaving in a manner that is unbecoming of a politician.
Mm.
So even in that particular space, know who you are. Don't forget who you are. Don't get too comfortable. Because at the end of the day, as much as you are that person, you are in this particular space, you're not one of them.
Now, Fundo, does it translate to votes, though? Because we've also seen people, like there's lots of politicians that I love dearly. I'm like, ah, that's my dude. Haven't voted for them, though. But they're my dudes, generally, like my friends.
Well, not to promote unconventional media, but I would say it does translate into votes. If I'm to just look at Joe Rogan's interview with Donald Trump, yes, that shaped his campaign, you know, I don't know. They still say it was his youngest son that actually pushed him to go to that podcast. But many people, I've watched that podcast over and over again because of so many people who kept on recommending it. And this was after he won. And I saw why it would have shaped his campaign and why at that last moment he would have won more people.
Mm.
Because it allowed him to let his hair down, if you will. There's not much of it left, but nevertheless, he... It was a very nice interview. And generally, he's not the most diplomatic guy anyway.
Mm.
But to hear a bit more of his come up was quite, it was quite nice. And we can, on conventional media, actually have those kind of sit downs. But...
No, you can't.
I think, no, we can. It's just that it would disrupt the format. Mm. Remember, it's fast-paced news. Mm. So you just want to give people the big stories and move. So it needs better planning. But that's why you have other shows, late-night shows, that would have a sit-down where somebody can have that conversation about smoking weed or dacha.
But it's not the same, guys.
It is. Let me tell you,
no, man.
We just operate within the ambit
of... I don't think it has...
It definitely isn't the same. Let me tell you.
It's just that we have to operate within the ambit of the rules of broadcasting. Because there is a degree of responsibility that comes with a public broadcaster.
No,
and beyond that, hold on. Beyond that, let me explain. And I've done this thing, you know I have, since I was 21. When you go to a studio, first of all, it's just very different.
Mm-hmm.
The environment is different. You go through security, then they need to mic you up, then they put makeup on you. Mm. Already your demeanor is very, very different.
100%.
When you go to Saul's show, those guys are giving you drinks. Literally, you can come in your t-shirts. Already, Jay, what you're going to say is very different to what you're going to go, okay, live in 5, 4, 3. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, no, true.
Come on.
As you speak, we can even go to the loo, then I'll leave you with Mac to speak to you.
Yeah.
It's very relaxed. But I think it can translate to votes if already you're a strong politician and people have a liking towards you. Maybe some just need that one little thing to then win for you to win them over. For example, I love Musi on Twitter, but I would never vote for him, you know? He's been a weak politician outside of the DA on his own. And no matter how much I love him on Twitter, that will never translate to a vote for him. I mean, he's got 2.4 or something million followers. Mm. How many votes did he get?
It's way less than that.
It's
because of the trolling. So that's the thing. You need to balance out what you are using your social media platform for. If you are there and you're going to become a troll, you then become one of us. And I see you less as a politician and more of just one of us.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Give us a shout. Does it affect your vote if you see the politician, for example, in a more relaxed environment? Let's say maybe they interviewed him and she sang Yama or something. 086-000-0959.
I think, like Saul is saying, it does humanize them. We're not saying we want to know their blood type or who their doctor's name is, but to some extent, for them being so candid, it makes them very relatable to be like, you know, even the public becomes more empathetic towards them. To like, actually, you know, this person actually went through some of the challenges that we went through, or they kind of are in certain aspects of their life. Going through to some of the things that we are going through. So you become relatable, you know, you humanize them and you become more empathetic, unlike, you know, when they do certain things. You find that, you know, you can relate to them or you can be more empathetic because you know to a certain extent that at the end of the day they are humans as much as they are politicians and they are the face of our country.
It definitely does humanize a politician when you see them on platforms like this. But unfortunately, as a politician, you don't really have control as to how far that humanization goes, because familiarity breeds contempt. And with a position like, you know, a holder of office, a position like that, I think you need some sort of gap between you and the people. So when you're on social media, it gets hard to maintain that gap. Like Abu Musi end up trolling, trying to be relatable, and it just goes south instead of north, you know. So there's a very, very thin line. Very thin.
Yes. And in fact, in a position of leadership, it's almost as if you want to be viewed as exalted in some way.
We need to know our politicians, and some of them, Sebas Manje, but the actual background of us, yes. And we know when it comes to Twitter, they've been using Twitter as a formal platform. And they are very careful, some of them, when they issue statement. But my figure, go my podcast, is where we get to know them personally, because there are questions that are asked personally about their backgrounds, where they come from. That is But we have to know them. Who's this person? Sing up a judge from what we see on television.
Minaje, I personally love it. For an example, Ubaba, we've seen him shooting. I think he was at home shooting animals with a gun. We've seen him playing quiet bikes. We've seen him with his family laughing, and I enjoy that. Again, with Julius, we've seen him, you know, DJing, etc. So these people are human, and whether it equates to I'm a vote, I'm not too sure. But yes, it makes you more human, and therefore says that at least you live in the world that I live in, instead of people that we don't know anything about, where they come from, what their intentions are.
You've never seen Helen Ziller do any of those things. You've never seen Helen Ziller, except that one time where she was wearing Xhosa regalia and she was brewing umqombothi. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and the one time where she was kissing Mamphele. Remember that infamous kiss?
Yeah, but that was still politics. That wasn't really anything else. And she's the best performing leader of the DA ever. That's the point I'm trying to make. You've never seen her relaxed environment, but her results deliver.
But she hasn't consistently been put out there as a villain, like a Jacob Zuma, for example, or a Julius Malema by the media. That's why then alternative media will humanize these people.
Ah, so now you're talking about something else, because now you're talking about redemption. You're saying people go on these kind of media runs when there is something that they need to redeem. For example, if you look at Julius Malema, over the last 3 months, he's been having a horrid time. And so now, that's why he may turn around and do an interview with the DJ Smoo, because there is an image to repair.
Damage control, you're saying?
100%. 100%.
Guys, for me, I don't like any politician at all, especially in the South African context. I used to like this guy a lot, Barack Obama. But, and then, was it 2011, 2012, Libya happened? I've never looked at him the same. So they can do whatever to clean their images and whatever. Nah, I just vote because I have to.
Nambandle, if I was a politician, I wouldn't care about being liked. I really wouldn't care. But I can tell you, you'd love my results. Me, you'd hate me. You'd be like, yeah, this is a marafe. But make plenty term. You'd be like,
Yes, it does make them more relatable when you see them in a much more relaxed environment, and also just getting to find out a little bit more about themselves. But it also depends on the type of platform they are at. If they go to Solin Mekji, it's not really constructive as opposed to seeing a person with Usizwe Mpofu, for example, Welsh. Let me give you an example. Seeing the premier of Gauteng, Panyaza Lesufi, on Sizwe, my goodness, just a tad bit extra respect that I got, I have for that guy after watching his interview. Whereas somebody that goes to Umekji Nosol, because of the platform and how they have already created the environment, ngiyazi ukuthi izobheka eceleni nje. So, yeah.
Umekji Nosol makes his team.
That's not true, because funny enough, the example you made, we had Panyaza Lesufi like 2 weeks, last week, in fact. Please go check that out. Beautiful interview. It's also about how the guy carries himself. He didn't come there and call his ex-wife roadkill. Where the platform was there for him to do that, he controlled himself.
But you're getting defensive. The fact is, your podcast is their careers come to die. People come there, they get sued. It get cancelled. Stop it. I laugh all the time because I know it's 5-2. Wow.
Conventional media is going to take over because these politicians are made to tell the truth in a very relaxed way. And that's what we want. That's what we've always wanted. Politicians lie, but when they get to these unconventional media spaces, they actually tell the truth. McG, for one, is one to be able to make these politicians tell the actual truth and not the truth that, you know, conventional media would have to report. They end up telling the actual truth.
Yeah. Also, McG is a broadcaster. And whether you realize it or not, there's a skill to broadcasting that people take for granted. McG is able to draw answers out of people that ordinary people wouldn't be able to. He's able to make you feel comfortable in front of a camera. All of these things are things that these other podcasters have not mastered. No disrespect to any of them, but you can see it when you watch.
For me, now, guys, once my mind is made up, whatever one is made up, it's not going to change. Whether when the interview, faggy skin, in a vest or whatever, it doesn't really make much of a difference for me. For example, I like Banyaza. I think you can tell, I've never met him, but you can tell with Tamil Grand Duke as well. Will maybe correct me on that one, especially Saul, since I'm interviewed recently with him. He seems like a cool time, manje. But when it comes to politics, sometimes you're like, I guess sure, Gamu, I guess sure, 100%. Not saying good, I'll never vote for him, but for now, never.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.